The Philadelphia School District is trumpeting improved attendance numbers as a sign of success. But kids are getting creative. At some schools, they're showing up, getting marked present, and then cutting class.
I mean, you need kids to be in class before you can advance any sort of goals regarding learning.
Why haven't school administrators cracked down on a persistent attendance problem that they already know about? And how is the problem causing low-performing schools to struggle even more? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why.
My name is Jessica Calafatti, and I'm an investigative reporter at The Enquirer.
Jessica looked into attendance numbers at Edison High School.
So Edison High School is located in North Philly near the Hunting Park neighborhood, and it's a fairly large school, about 1,000 students. All of those students are considered economically disadvantaged.
Like 100%.
Yeah. So those students have incredible challenges in their home lives. And then about a third of the school is considered to be learning English as a second language, and a third of the school has special education needs.
What is the faculty like there? What are the teachers like?
Yes. So Edison is one of the schools within Philadelphia that has fairly high teacher turnover. This past year, they lost a third of their teachers over the summer, which is high. Experts have told us that turnover above 25% is cause for alarm. Over a third is like hair on fire alarm. really serious.
So there's not a lot of continuity for the students. How is attendance at the school?
So we found that the school's official attendance rate is about 82%. That's based on swipe attendance. So what that means is children arrive at school in the morning. They go through a metal detector because this is a feature of life in some of our Philadelphia high schools. And then they swipe their student identification cards at a kiosk, and that signals to the school that they are present for the day. But if you look at another system that the public doesn't know much about at this point, that's classroom level attendance, the attendance rate is much lower. It drops by more than half to 36%. So each time students show up at a different class, the teachers in those classrooms are taking attendance. And so the records of their classroom attendance is a separate system. So what we've found is there are students who arrive in the morning, swipe their ID card, but then don't necessarily go to class. And you can see when you compare those two systems that there are children who arrive in the morning and swipe their ID card and don't go to class and are still counted as present for the full school day.
Where are the students going?
Some students come to school and spend their time walking the halls. Some students come and spend time in the auditorium or the bathroom.
A lot of times kids just want to hang out, spend time with their friends, mischief, never nothing really good. And sometimes they'll cut class and go to their favorite teacher and stuff like that. But most of the time they just cut class from the hall, so wait for the time passes.
And one student that I spoke with, a graduate.
My name is Agnew Ingalls. I'm 24 years old.
Told me that he was shocked by that reality.
Kids didn't just cut class, they left school. You know, you leave school at like 10, 11 o'clock.
Especially having come from a suburban school before becoming an Edison student.
I went to Neshaminy 9th and 10th grade and a quarter of my junior year. And I went to Edison High School 3/4 of my junior year and my senior year. So in Neshaminy, what happens is that, you know, you have the standard that if you cut class, you get Saturday detention. And no kid wants to go to school on Saturday to serve a detention. And Edison, cutting class is just a thing you do. It was just the norm, and there were no consequences because of it. And then the people that I hired to be hall monitors try to be more so the student's friend instead of being like, you need to be in class and stuff like that. I remember there was one day the principal announced that she wasn't going to be in that day. And I could tell you about a good 60% of the students were roaming the halls that entire day. On a normal day, I could say about like 30 to 40% of the students have cut at least a class that day.
What what are some reasons that you found that students aren't going to class?
So it can be a number of different things, but it seems like there's a range from students having problems at home that create a stressful learning environment for them. Then you have students who feel disconnected from their school community because the teacher turnover is so high or because they have so many substitute teachers.
Edison was more like a factory of like trying to occupy the kids instead of trying to educate the kids and to being better people.
And then some students are just sort of being kids. I mean, if you can get away with it, you're going to, and they do.
How do teachers talk about the situation? Like, how do they feel it got to this point?
Teachers are discouraged that it's at this point. And one teacher that we spoke with,
Robin Lowry, health and physical education teacher.
She's been teaching in the district for 25 years, and this has concerned her for a long time.
We've undermined schools. When a school is low performing, what do? We get rid of half of the staff. And yet we also say that low performing students need to build relationships with their teachers. But we've shuffled schools and shuffled students, closed schools, shuffled staff. So that's a big barrier to kids wanting to feel comfortable and coming into a class to learn.
So some staff have brought this up with the principal, right?
That's right. I was told about one staff meeting in particular where teachers complained and said, you know, the principal at this meeting was saying, guys, we're doing great. The swipe attendance is up. And some teachers raised their hands and said, well, wait a second. What about our classroom attendance? We have kids that aren't coming to our classes. And the principal at that meeting made clear that swipe attendance is what counts, and that's what we should be focused on.
Is there an advantage to a school having a high number of students swiping in?
So one thing that we learned about as we reported on this story is that federal funding is tied in part to student attendance. So the district has an incentive to have that official/swipe attendance number appear to be high.
You know, I have a son in the district, and the times that I've come in contact with his principal, there really seems to be tremendous pressure on her to make sure that the attendance numbers are high. I think that the number they quote to me is like 95% of students showing up on time 95% of the time. Is that sort of a district-wide standard?
Yes, absolutely. And there's good reason for that. I mean, you need kids to be in class before you can advance any sort of goals regarding learning. Increasing attendance and having a high attendance rate is hugely important. It's one of those key metrics along with, you know, a reduction in suspensions or a high graduation rate or high test scores that districts and public officials all look to see how well is this school district doing. So Dr. Height, the superintendent, has been very proud of the district's increasing attendance rate, but that attendance rate is based on swipes.
So does this problem exist beyond Edison High School?
We're also seeking access to data from the school district that would show the true extent of the problem district-wide, but we haven't gotten that data quite yet.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We're talking to Inquirer reporter Jessica Calafatti about attendance problems at Edison High School in Philadelphia. How representative is Edison across the district?
So we've spoken with teachers from several other comprehensive high schools. These are neighborhood schools that accept all students from the surrounding area. And they say that this is happening in many places.
You know, from my colleagues in other buildings, hall walking is now, it's just gotten worse. And I think the kids have figured out that they can do very little. They can show up very little, and they're still going to pass.
We're also seeking access to data from the school district that would show the true extent of the problem district-wide, but we haven't gotten that data quite yet.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about how that how seeking that data has gone.
So we filed a public records request, a right to know, back in June, and the district initially denied the request. Then we appealed that decision to the Office of Open Records, and we got a favorable decision from Harrisburg. And so right now the district has been ordered by the Office of Open Records to turn over the data. And we just learned that the school district is appealing again. And now we're going to have to fight for these records in the Court of Common Pleas.
What has the district said in response to your reporting?
Very little. We spoke, or we, you know, attempted to speak with Dr. Hite, but he was not available for an interview. And in the days since the story has published, we haven't heard much.
Did you find that this system is actually hurting students in any way? The fact that they're not getting counted as truant as cutting class?
So I spoke with my colleague spoke with one student named Ruth DeLeon, who's now a senior, and she explained to us that she cut many of her afternoon classes last year because she felt tremendous pressure at home. She's just a kid, really, but was responsible for taking care of her younger cousins, feeding them, dressing them, getting them to bed, and it was too much for her, and she just needed more time in her day. She also said that her teachers didn't connect with her about why she was skipping those afternoon classes, and in retrospect sort of wishes that they had, because maybe she could have gotten some support or service.
So if they knew that she was cutting because of some kind of issue at home, somebody could have intervened. But because the system is set up that there's no real way for them to know that, there was no way to get her those services.
That's right. So the way that truancy is officially determined or calculated in the district is when you don't show up and swipe for a certain number of days in a row. And then the district approaches you and your family to say, what's going on here? How can we support you in getting you back to class? But you don't get triggered for those services if you're swiping in and then cutting class.
Right. You know, when I was in high school, I was in high school in the Philadelphia School District. This is a little while ago. We didn't have a swipe system. That maybe made it more cumbersome to count students. But the only way you counted students was to show up to class and your teacher would count you present. Have we kind of, like, in automating that system, added a layer that can be taken advantage of, do you think?
I think it's fine to track students by swipes. That gives schools an easy indicator of who is in their building on a day-to-day basis. The problem is that the swipe system and the classroom-level attendance system don't communicate with one another. And teachers have complained about this to me, that when they are taking attendance in their classes, they don't know whether the students who are absent are actually absent or whether they're cutting. So if teachers had that information, they might be better equipped to say, hey, where is so-and-so? That person appears to be in the building somewhere. Maybe we should go find him, or maybe we should try to convince that person to come back to class.
So it's been a long process to get these records. Why is this something we should be paying attention to? Why is it important?
So if you look at some of the academic results from high schools like Edison and other neighborhood high schools, they are very poor. And if you think about, well, how could it be that students struggle so much? Often we're told, well, students live in poverty. They have difficult home lives. And looking at these attendance records shows it's not just that. It's factors in school that can be changed and potentially could, you know, create a much better learning environment for some of these students.
Thank you so much for speaking with me about this.
Thank you.
Jessica Calafatti is an investigative reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.